listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 279 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
Sorry about the break. Combination of people being ill and stressed. And I think it's mostly that, actually.
Yeah, generally stressed and ill.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm on some new meds to help with some stuff, and it's like they are not fun every time I have to increase the dose for them, because I've been slowly increasing the dose, and it's just like, there is a sick bowl near us is the level of not great we're at.
I mean, I'll try and edit out the hurling, but, you know.
Let's just hope it doesn't splash all over the mic or something. But yeah, on the evening,
like some kind of chunky fountain.
on the evening that we're recording us, I was just sort of talking to the guys about it. Like, so this episode, we're planning to talk to you a bit about kind of console scalping and bot buying in general, and the effect it's having on people trying to get next gen. But also, like I was just saying, like how I've managed to write to my MP about like two issues in the past 2 weeks. One was this, and the other was the whole police and whatever justice bill that's like been discussed in Parliament this evening, whilst there's protests going on in London and stuff. And it's like, great. My MP has not written back to me about either issue. I mean, one was sent like over 2 weeks ago now, the other obviously only just at the weekend before scenes that had also happened in London during the weekend. So, yeah.
Mm.
I don't expect a satisfactory response on either issue. From capitalism to, like, freedom of speech, I don't expect a decent response.
Emily, you sound disenfranchised. Why is that? Just... I'm sure the listeners could probably, you know, hear the look that you're giving.
I mean,
it needs a kind of disgusted kiff noise, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah, well, last week was a bit of a shit sandwich, you know, for a lot of things, especially if you identify on the women's side of things. It just seems to be getting worse because now everyone's getting dragged into bullshit because of shit. But this isn't a politics podcast. This is a we want to buy some fucking video game consoles podcast today.
I mean, quite frankly, if it was a politics podcast, we'd have a lot of fucking material over the past 10 years.
But, you know, this is a thing, though, where politics is slightly involved, because there is actually an early day motion currently going through Parliament that's been organised by a bunch of MPs who are not Tory, asking for the government to basically step in and stop scalping of like consoles and bots being used to buy stuff, basically.
Now, for those uninitiated, what is scalping?
It's when somebody buys a thing at a normal price, retail price, and then buys all of it, you know, all of the availability of this thing.
That's the important part, isn't it?
Uh-huh. And then goes and sells it somewhere else for a far above actual retail market price.
And can I just say that working in retail, I have known this to happen quite a bit, and not just with video games consoles, because over the pandemic, there were, with gyms shutting, there was a lot of people buying exercise equipment of all kinds.
In bulk.
Well, that's what I'm getting to, because people were literally buying maybe like four, five, as many of, you know, a single item that they can get their hands on from our retailer. and then sell it on eBay for a considerable markup.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, is that previously the government has enacted legislation to stop this kind of anti-consumer behavior and anti-business behavior as well, because it's actually unfair on legitimate sellers and retailers for people to be taking advantage of what is the actual price for these things and to do stuff like this. So for instance, previously, obviously ticket scalping for live events, like in-person events and stuff, was like it wasn't legal, but it was accepted under the law, and then government came in and made that shit illegal. And so ticket scalping for like events now is not anywhere near as bad as it was. So obviously the past year, it's been kind of a non-issue when it came to the pandemic.
I mean, bearing in mind that, I mean, we're not talking about like buying a couple of tickets.
Yeah, we're talking about
and selling them on. We're talking about buying as many as you can to try and create a massive what's the word? Demand,
yeah, because you basically shorted out the entire availability there at that point, basically. There's nothing available except with what you've got. And, yeah, it's just... And the thing is that I get that there have been supply issues with consoles in the sense that manufacturers haven't been able or didn't foresee, perhaps, the demand, which I... 100% believe, considering how long it's been between console releases. And so the physical stock availability obviously hasn't been enough to cover the demand. But then that demand issue has been exacerbated by the fact that we've had people mass buying or using bots to mass buy consoles to then go and shove them on somewhere like eBay.
Yeah.
This is above and beyond the whole issue with, say, Hot UK Deals as well, isn't it? It's not just people being dicks, it's people being ultra mega dicks with automation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It would be one thing if it was like one guy or, you know, kind of a couple of guys that were to basically just kind of refresh the page every now and again and kind of try and get in. But because they've actually got bots, it's like...
I mean, it was bad enough hearing tales of you guys when you had a store in town and then a indie store seemingly buying out or reserving all stock of brand new game releases so that it couldn't...
Yeah.
Either you couldn't sell it or they could buy it cheap and then sell it at a slightly raised
price.
But
bear in mind, because of the way that our store is set up, we could actually get in more copies of the latest popular game from our... I suppose kind of almost like a mini warehouse type thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to kind of go into too much detail because then you'll know which retailer I work with. But that meant that if anybody in the area, in the greater area, not just our town, but in the greater area wanted one, they wouldn't be able to get it. So that's not just draining the one local shop. That's draining the supply for, you know, the region.
Yeah. It's a huge issue. And the thing is that it's possible to, because especially with stuff where you have to reserve things, like contact information has to be left. So currently there's perhaps not enough in place for basically retailers to stop this kind of stuff based on their information or to act on patterns they might see. And stop it. But also, there's no currently, I mean, part of these is also sites like eBay. Places that allow that reselling, because it's kind of like where's the...
Yeah, if they had nowhere to hawk it to, they wouldn't buy so much.
Like, there needs to be something, I don't know, I do not know what that solution might be, but something also needs to happen on that selling end, on the resell end, to ensure that shit's not basically being taken advantage of. But I don't know how that would work. And obviously it would involve like cooperation with someone like eBay, like actually talking to them and being like, look, how do we sort out this problem? How do we stop this bullshit?
I mean, there's certain types of item with my retailer where you can only buy a couple at a time because of other factors, like mobile phones, for example.
Well,
because it used to be a case of, you know, basically buying like phones that are cheaper because they're locked to a specific network, than getting them unlocked at the, you know, whatever shop.
Actually, one of the
main... And then kind of selling them on for a higher price.
One of the main reasons that the sale of mobile phones en masse has been restricted isn't because of scalping. It's to stop
terrorism.
Yes, so it's a counter-terrorism measure, basically. So, because obviously, unfortunately, you know, burner phones used for easy, quick communication or the development of devices.
And I mean, that you know, we do generally try and, especially kind of really, really popular items like video games consoles that, you know, there is usually kind of a limit on how many people can buy in any one basket.
But if a robot is getting in there faster than a human can when stock is made available, that's neither here nor there. And especially as a robot can be in more than one place at any one time, inserting variations of information en masse.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that, you know, a robot can generate, you know, what, 10, 15, however many emails is necessary, because you don't necessarily need a telephone number to make an order. You can't exactly block it from telephone number.
Yeah.
So then you'd kind of have to start getting into further, like, IP address and whatnot, in which case you can still
use an app that verifies that it's a human. Like, there's no point in using SMS verification for a human on the other end, because you can do stuff with phone numbers.
There's basically always kind of going to be some certain issues with kind of trying to tackle this.
But basically, you want a setup where basically somebody can't run some freaking load of Python script. I assume it's mostly Python that these things are built in, because everything like that seems to be freaking coded in Python.
The snakes are everywhere.
To kind of like just stop stuff like that from happening. But the thing is that when I wrote to our MP about it, no one from the Tory party or Conservatives had basically supported the whole thing yet at all. And it was mostly politicians from other parties. I'm sorry, I can't remember which ones. I suspect probably basically anyone who was a Conservative.
Well, anybody left of Conservatives, considering.
Yeah. I just want to be able to buy a new console. Like,
I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Because, for instance, this issue has been exasperated by the fact that myself and anyone who's ever used it, the communities feature for PS4 is being, was kind of discontinued /taken away.
I was going to suggest bollocks, but that's probably more correct.
Yeah, from, I think it's some point in April. And it's like, okay, well, that's great. You keep, because this is like not the only thing that's basically been taken away from PS4 users. There's been a couple of bits of functionality. And I was like, well, that's great, but you're making it fecking impossible at the moment between yourselves by having low supply and then sort of like not working with anyone seemingly to make this improve this. It's like, how could you, can you like at least sort out your goddamn supply issues before you start lobbing off services?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, there's not exactly that many places that sell video games consoles anymore anyway, because, I mean, I suppose you've still kind of got Game Up Country.
There aren't that many shops.
Yeah,
that's true.
At the moment.
I mean, I know that the at least our local Sainsbury's...
They've stopped doing consoles.
I think they have. They've basically cut down. In fact, I'm pretty sure that they've announced that they're basically just axing most of DVD stroke video game stuff.
I don't know what's happening with our local Tesco's, Asda... with stuff like that. I mean, the Asda that's nearest us always had quite a big entertainment section, but we haven't been there since before the pandemic.
I'm pretty sure HMV have stopped doing most video game stuff altogether now.
Yeah, they have. And we don't have a national chain, a game or independent game store in our town anymore. I'm not sure if there's actually any game stores active in Cornwall anymore. I'm not sure if they're still around. I have a feeling they've all been... I will Google the moment.
I think at this point, if you actually want to get a video games console, you may actually have to either go secondhand or potentially buy online.
Yep.
Which is kind of worrying. That's kind of the level that it's got to now.
Can I just... What is a shop?
It's that thing that won't exist for much longer after the pandemic, apparently.
Oh, okay. Game's got a store finder, so I'm going to put in some information.
I bet there's one in Plymouth.
Yeah, there'll still be one in Plymouth. But yeah. They also closed one of the ones in Plymouth
last year or so. Or is that like a combination of Game and GameStop?
It might be a combination of Game and GameStop.
GameStop or Game Station?
So there's still the Cenostool one.
There is?
It's still there, but I think it's temporarily closed.
Because of pandemic?
Yeah.
Understandable.
There used to be one in Penzance, there used to be one in Truro. So Truro one closed first, then the Penzance one, and now obviously like the one in Cenostool's been closed because pandemic. Yeah. But the thing is that Cenostool's like retail scene is awkward to get to. Its high street is of questionable livability. But then again, the capital of Cornwall, Truro, is currently hemorrhaging shops like nobody's business. It's like every week there's like some other store being like, our lease is up and we can't be bothered to come back.
Well, we actually found out not long before recording this podcast that there is one bit of good news, and that's that the our favourite geek shop in town is actually going to be expanding
into a bigger site.
Into basically a bigger
building
next door to it, which will include a gaming cafe.
But that probably won't be happening until next year, cafe part.
Yeah.
Which is nice because they genuinely have some really good stuff, and we've been getting little bits of like board game stuff and like other geekery things, including nice baseball caps.
And it's also nice because it feels like a lot of the places that we usually kind of peruse in town have pretty much gone.
Well, like I said, like the pandemic made things worse.
Oh yeah.
And then leases seemingly seem to have come up in a lot of places and nobody can be bothered to renew.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what's the point? Basically.
As an example, I heard today that Thornton's is closing.
Thornton's in Truro had already decided to throw in the towel. I believe either it was just before the pandemic or just as it was starting. We still, I think at the moment, may or may not have a Hotel Chocolat, which was a recent addition. I'm a bit annoyed about the Thornton stuff though, because if they're not doing stuff on that, they were one of the few places I could go to for diabetics chocolate and sweets. Which is, I have several family members who are diabetic, so it's kind of like, and like Boots have got like a diabetic sweet range, but it's not the kind of like gift kind of items.
That reminds me, because Velvet Crystal is another place, basically a nice
indie jewelry
shop.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Well, I mean, they've still got, they're keeping their branch that in Perrenporth, but they've been in their store. Just to show how long they've been there. They've been in that particular store since I was a kid. And so for them to be, and like, and there's someone that, you know, when there isn't a pandemic on, I would be going to more than several times a year to look at gifts or stuff for myself.
I mean, quite frankly, this is the kind of time where towns really need to either rethink their rent or rethink about like planning applications and whatnot so that you can actually get in businesses into towns that will actually,
but then,
you know,
like business work. Rates are like one of the biggest issues. I don't know how we get back to bots from here. But basically, trying to buy,
buying up all the shops.
Well, I wonder.
just walk in and there's terminators everywhere.
Like, you can't go and say, oh, you could go and just buy it somewhere in person, because considering that loads of retail have had to make sure that they have an online presence in order to survive all this bullshit of the past year, that means they're open to bots on that one front. But then it's not like, but because there's like fewer stores and stuff that you can actually go into anyway, who may or may not have dubious online facilities anyway, but like you can't just walk in off the street and buy a thing now. It's kind of been a slightly double-edged sword, the move to online for certainly high-priced items, which are the ones which people obviously think that if they can easily get a load of, they can obviously make the most profit from.
And I mean, because we've had people that have come in to kind of pick up, I think the other day, the Xbox Series X's, I think, we suddenly had like a, you know, kind of a load of those in from the main warehouse. And, you know, those got snapped up pretty quickly. And I'm pretty sure that some of those got cancelled because there's multiple on the same order. Apparently, from what I heard from one of my colleagues, one of the guys who were coming to collect it got a bit pissed off because he wanted one for himself and one for his brother. So it's not necessarily a case of, you know, scalpers. It's also a case of basically people
regular people get caught up in it. Yeah. But the thing is that like that's all good and well, but then like it could very well be that actually due to the stock levels that we do have, it needs to just literally be one per purchase. And I'm like, if you want to get it, I'm sorry, you can only get one at a time because the stock levels, it is just that poor.
I mean, technically you could, you know, just get, you know, one each on home delivery.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I saw an article somewhere about scalpers being pissed off that they're being demonized.
But they're the ones taking advantage of the system in a way that means that people can't actually pay what something is actually worth.
See, like, there's functional capitalism when you buy something up and you do something with it. And then, you know, you sell that thing on.
What you mean?
And then there's just...
Yeah, it's not like they're all doing custom freaking exterior jobs and all these consoles to make them super pretty.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they're not doing that. All they're doing is they're just buying shit up so no one else can, using automated systems, and then go, oh, you're blaming us for this. Yeah. Yes, I am. You're not even importing. You're not even doing, you know, the grey imports or anything like that.
Yeah.
All you're doing is you're making sure that you are snagging the UK stock so you can sell it at an inflated price. And whenever I'm searching for consoles, usually old consoles, I know that'll be a big shock to everyone here. You know, there's the amount of PS5s and, you know, Series X's that are on there at, you know, like £150 more than the RRP. Although on the flip side, there's also these. There's lots of copies of Cyberpunk 2077 for far less than the launch price.
Have they fixed that game yet?
They've kind of fixed it, so it's a hell of a lot more stable. But I'm personally waiting until they've done the upgrades to next gen.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know, other half has played it, and it, you know. You know, it played fine, you know, got through to the end. It seems like a good game. Some excellent voice acting, you know, interesting storyline choices, you know, all of that. I want to play it. But, yeah, it's just I'll be waiting for the properly upgraded, like, you know, whiz bang, ray tracy, etc.
Oh, Paul's just found a thing on the resellers. Go on, Paul.
So from CNET.com, so according to a new piece in Forbes, many scalpers see the backlash to reselling as unjustified. All we are acting as is a middleman for a limited quantity item. One reseller told
why is it in limited, you know, such limited quantity? Oh, it'll be you lot.
Essentially, every business resells their products. The scalper identified only as Jordan said nobody complains when a grocery store buys milk from a farmer and resells it at twice as much.
But that's because they're actually, the farmers don't tend to sell milk direct.
If I was buying direct from the local farmer all my produce and then some twat came along and bought it all up and then said, you know, actually it's 50, you know, percent more expensive now and you can only buy it from me because I bought it all.
But
I would be annoyed.
Can I just say that retailers have to build in the price for faulty products as well?
Yeah.
So a certain amount of their stock that they hand out, there's going to be faults with them. If you buy it from a scalper, are they going to give you the exact same guarantee?
No, in fact, you've just lost your manufacturer's warranty, essentially, there, because they're not actually an authorised seller.
Yeah.
Just...
You're paying at a higher price for a substandard service.
Yes. And you won't be able to get any cover out on it. And actually, if you consider this, if you were doing items insurance for your home and you don't have a receipt from a legitimate retailer, it is unlikely you will be able to get insurance for that product.
Although what a lot of them do is that they will include the receipt.
But
if they, you know, if they got it from a physical, you know, like an Argos or, you know, wherever.
But at the same time,
in a supermarket,
if you're having to buy it electronically at the moment, all the contact details to go with that receipt will have nothing to do with you. And so actually trying to make a claim on that item may actually be incredibly difficult. Still.
Yeah.
It's just like, basically, they're abusing the system.
Yeah.
And if they can't see that, then, you know, it's like, you know, with that, the example of, you know, the shop buys it and then buys the milk and then sells it at twice the price. And it's like, but we're not in a milk shortage. People aren't desperate for milk and can't find any.
Yeah, but also, actually, the thing is that basically you say middleware, but on the supply chain side of things, so you've got whoever's supplying most retailers, and you've obviously got the console manufacturers, but it's adding another step in that chain, which therefore means that, I mean, not that Sony, for instance, needs massive amounts of profit or whatever, but you've just taken away profit from them anyway.
I'm just thinking here. If you're selling on, you know, like the Series X's that I've seen, and they're, you know, going for 600 quid, eBay charges you about 10%.
So eBay pocketing 60 quid.
Yeah. Ooh, I wonder why eBay aren't doing more about this.
That makes more sense now. Mm.
Good point.
Makes a lot more sense.
It's just, I mean, they did the whole thing with concert tickets a while back, so they showed that they can.
Mm.
They just don't want to.
Can I also say, in regards to that handing over the receipt thing, is that, well, retailers, if they cannot give you basically a replacement, then often they'll obviously kind of, you know, give you the option of buying another item or whatnot, but you would not be able to get a refund because it was not your card or, you know, your payment method that
they'd have to pay with cash, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but you can't do that at the moment. And, you know, quite frankly, paying with cash, you'd have to literally go in somewhere anyway.
Yeah.
In which case, if you're going to be going in, you can't exactly kind of do that scalping thing where you're kind of getting in as soon as possible and, you know, kind of getting the item before anybody else can.
Yeah, basically, there's not a legit reason I can think of for anyone to scalp on these, because it's not like they're providing something that you can't otherwise get other than because of their actions.
Yeah.
If there's something that has, like, something that's no longer being made, mm-hmm. and therefore there is now limited supply, it makes sense. I mean, that's like freaking antiques. And also, like, obviously, old-gen consoles that are now, like, retro collectible items and stuff, or games.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
That makes sense. But if it's something that's already still being manufactured...
Mm. And also, it's just complete bollocks.
And also, like, on the second-hand market, like, you don't expect to be able to go and get refunds or, you know, like repairs and shit, because it is something that's old.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I can really think of with this is that it's taking advantage of Joe Public, because Joe Public isn't going to most of the time be paying that much attention to when there's a new machine. They'll find out there's a new machine because there's games for it or there's posters for it in a store window or in a magazine.
Mm.
And I found that out with my sister-in-law, because of course we knew that the next-gen consoles were coming, and because we already had Game Pass. I've got into the reasons why we went Series X, previously, but my partner, set an alarm and basically just camped on the website waiting for them, to become available, pre-ordered. There we go, bam. Whereas sister-in-law, because she wanted one for her son, my nephew, they had to just, search around. So we were looking for, you know, deals from, you know, various retailers and, you know, saying, yes, we've got stock in. So, you know, we had to pounce, you know, kind of on their behalf and say, look, there we go. There's one. But yeah, it's just, it's not thee and me who's, you know, who's really, you know, getting screwed over by this. It's, you know, Joe Q, Joe and Joanne, you know, Q yeah. Public, who just go, oh, there's a new one. That'll be cool. Oh, it plays Cyberpunk properly. Yeah, I love that. Thanks. Oh, why can't I walk into a place and get it?
I mean, I was going to say, I know I said originally I'd like to like build a PC as well at some point. My issue is that there are things that like the generation that's just ending, there are things on the PS5 that are kind of more exclusive to it suddenly now seeming to come out of the woodwork that I'm a bit more interested in. Certainly if there looks like there's going to be expansions to Death Stranding.
But I mean, I think you said that your plan is to basically get a PlayStation 5 eventually, as well as
build a PC. Well, yeah, the PC is mostly an insurance against the likes of Bethesda, essentially at this point.
You mean that company that I just had all the games added on Game Pass because I have Game Pass.
Except, well, aren't you missing Fallout 3?
Well,
I saw some people meaning that there's no Fallout 3.
Personally, no.
I like Fallout 3 and I hate New Vegas, and 4 can just, I really don't actually like the whole building shit in 4. I really don't
like
it.
The thing is, I own them all on disc anyway, and on Steam. So if I really wanted to play Fallout 3 on my Series X, I could just pop in the 360 disc.
Mind you, 3 on...
Because there's a reason to keep discs.
I think there's a reason to play 3 on PC, and that's to work hard to not have all the bugs that 3 had on console.
I'm presuming that you would prefer the disc version of whatever console you
use. Yes.
Okay.
Even though it'd cost more. Just because I don't trust their internet for downloading fucking games.
Oh, yeah.
And can I just you know, kick Nintendo a little bit, because it's been a little while since I've done that.
Okay.
That's been a little while, hasn't it?
Oh, thank you. As a treat.
Yeah, as a treat. Go on.
I noticed that some of the Mario games, was it like Mario Build or Mario Maker 2? Was in their sale. And it's like, it's the cheapest it's ever been. And it's like £36. And it's like, no. That's still far too expensive. No. That's the cheapest, £36.
I had to advise some colleagues at work who have bought Switches for their young ones. I basically, before Christmas, I was asked for advice on what to get console-wise, and then games to go with it, and so I delivered that advice. And then there was a plea from the kids of one of my co-workers being like, but all the Nintendo games are so expensive, what else can we play? And so I set up an incredibly complex filter on Nintendo's website, went through their Switch back catalogue and found games with suitable age ratings and that I knew vaguely were of reasonable quality. Lot of indie.
Yeah, there's a surprising amount of indie on there.
Yeah, but that basically were all kind of like pocket money level.
Yeah.
And basically I compiled a list and shared that with the parents that were, well, the one parent that was asking specifically about this, but obviously this was on like a group channel on work Slack, basically just be like,
yeah,
you can, these games are all pretty good for kids up to 12. I did point out though, that certainly with like some of the Nintendo games, that they are worth saving up for occasionally because the length of time, playtime you will get from many of them, especially something like Breath of the Wild, is huge. Well,
technically speaking, Mario Maker 2, because there's going to be basically people creating levels all of the time. The one thing that lets Mario Maker 2 down is actually the online infrastructure.
Yeah. It's very laggy. Nintendo's
online infrastructure, you mean? gentle kicking.
But I mean, say for example, Mario Kart. You know, you know, that will kind of last you absolutely hours. And, you know, a lot of Nintendo games are like that. They're not kind of designed to be basically play through once, get to the end of the story, and bam, you're done.
Yeah. Obviously, and there's new Pokemon games coming out next year or so. So I'm looking at them and thinking, because they've got the sort of rehashes of, is it Diamond?
Red and Blue, is it?
Red and Blue. Oh, no. It Diamond and, Silver and Gold and Crystal? Was I imagining that?
There are 150 Pokemon and not a single one extra.
But Lugia is so cool. That's me thinking about Silver, which I had an American import of. Because it was taking forever to come out over here, I think, at the time, and I ended up picking up an American import, and it's just like...
Eh. Oh, yes, that was another example of Nintendo really loving Europe.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, there's a cat in here.
Cat.
Is there a cat?
Is it Kaz?
Callie,
sorry. Callie. Does Callie have a...
Yeah, you would think it would be Kaz. Why would you think it was Kaz?
I don't know. I remembered it sort of started vaguely in that sound area. Don't talk about Supernatural at the moment. Like, every other week, there's just a dumpster fire of something someone said from the former cast.
What,
making everyone... Yes, Misha's managed to say something recently that pissed off a whole load of people. So it's just like,
I mean, you can
give me a link or something on DM if you don't want to.
Basically, he talked about something about Amazon, and he kind of set up a comparison between Destiel and then the other main ship. Which is like a really dangerous thing to mention.
He must have been trolling or something.
It's either that or he forgot. I mean, it is entirely possible, but it was just like... And then he did like an apology that wasn't an apology, and it was just like, what? Just don't get in. There's no point. Like, basically, people who had anything to do with the show, as in terms of crew or cast, or right, they just need to stop talking about it. Just don't say a word. Say nothing. In fact, if only they could just cancel all the conventions or something. Because it just seems that every time any of them says something, that we thought it was bad when the show was on air. No. The incendiary fires that just spread quickly, and it's just like,
are they? So, I mean, I want to make a joke about Texas Walker, Texas Ranger.
It's just Walker.
Walker. Like, if the fan base was as quiet as Walker's at the moment.
Yeah, it's not garnered like a mass... I think it's doing really well with people who just don't get into fandoms, as in regular people.
Regular people?
I know. I've watched the first 6 episodes, and I'm still like... episode 6 came out last week. But anyway, this is not a what we've been up to episode. So, bots.
Bots.
Do you know, Python's responsible for a lot of bullshit as a programming language.
You can't blame a tool. Blame the people behind the tool. The developers of Python. No, I'm just kidding.
No, the people developing with Python. Like, God.
I think we can all agree here that the bots are complete tools.
Well, yes.
Yes.
But actually, no, like, Python is interesting as a language, because not only are people using it for, like, I say simple scripting, like automated scripting type stuff, like buying shit. It's actually one of the key languages behind a lot of stuff to do with, like, AI and machine learning. Like, a lot of machine learning models and stuff that are built on Python.
Hmm.
Did you see one of the how to fool one of the AIs into thinking that something was an iPod?
No, I did not.
In this case, there was a picture of a green apple.
Uh huh. And did it look like the original logo for Dear Apple Music?
Actually, no, it didn't. Oh. It was just a green apple. It was a photo of a green apple.
Okay.
I love this. This is great. Yes, Callie agrees. So, you know, picture of a green apple, and the AI said, you know, apple, like 99% certainty. And then they had the same apple, except on a handwritten note, they had written either, I can't remember whether it was iPad or iPod, just in black marker.
Okay.
And the AI said, this is an iPod. This is, you know, an Apple iPod. And it's just, So all this stuff about, you know, ooh, AI, isn't it really advanced? It's just, no, apparently you put a name tag on an apple and it will think that it's...
As an opinion piece I saw on the Guardian's website, is anything to go by, that I read today, which went on about the shenanigans happening at Google in regards to the sudden departure of two of their AI ethics people.
Yeah.
So co-authoring a paper about AI, and the issue is not necessarily like bias issues or like a massive ethical concern with AI, but another one is the potential environmental cost and then the affordability of access. And then that leads me to thinking like, so AI is potentially, especially for like training, could be huge carbon footprints involved, basically because you need lots of computing power to train the models properly. The other issue, though, aside from bias, as I said, and cost, but it got me thinking about the fact that is this just a bots and tech episode? Maybe it is. I don't know. But I finally heard, even though they've been kicking about for a year, about NFTs, non-fungible tokens, and then the whole bullshit that suddenly happened with like slight corners of the online art scene, like people who do digital art. And I was just like, what the utter fuck? And basically,
it was very unexpected, by which I mean it took slightly longer than it actually did for it to happen.
Yeah. And then I sort of like saw something that I've never been happy about the concept of crypto in terms of the environmental footprint. I am all for intriguing ways of verifying stuff through stuff like blockchain in theory, but the environmental cost of doing all of this is kind of like and then I saw one thing that suggested that something checking on a transaction for these things can equal about 700,000 Visa transactions. And I was just like, what? In terms of energy, I was just like, what? So yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this. I feel like tech is trying to swallow the world a little bit too much at the moment. Maybe it's just me.
It's always the people behind tech.
Yeah, the tech is okay, but it's the people who tend to not understand.
I think there is a real...
The tech, and it is definitely a way for us to do this thing, and you go, why are you doing that thing? It's really stupid.
But then also there's like a issue with people who develop the tech in the sense that a lot of them don't have any training in philosophy or ethics.
Particularly ethics.
It's not a widely acknowledged issue, but in some corners it is an acknowledged issue. Not enough necessarily being done to... Like, this is what happens when you get people to just focus on STEM and you don't get them to focus on the things that STEM supports and supports STEM, i.e. creativity and the humanities and what it means to be doing stuff from, like, an actual people perspective. Mm-hmm.
Basically, what I'm hearing is that they need to watch more Star Trek.
Or The Good Place.
But mostly Star Trek.
But mostly Star Trek.
But, I mean, basically, you want you don't want round humans. You want well-rounded humans.
That still doesn't sound right. You want holistically thinking people.
Yeah, so basically people that don't just kind of go, okay, well, this is my topic, this is my subject, everything else is rubbish. And it's basically a distraction. You know, we have these things for a reason. You know, you go to school to learn maths, you learn science, you learn French, you learn history, you learn...
You're geography. Lucky if you learn a language these days.
That's a good point.
In this country.
That's, yeah, which is a bit of a worrying thing. But,
yeah
digressing, because, you know, all of those things that you learn contribute to, you know, a greater picture of the world.
And now I ask again, did the people who create Python think about the ethical concerns of the easily scriptable programming language that could be used to mass automate actions?
It's a tool. It's a tool. Did the people behind the hammer realize that it could also smash
I mean, we could, we could make this argument that it's a tool, but for instance, fossil fuels and cars are tools in a way, and the ethical concerns about their impact on our climate were actually hidden for many, many, many years.
That's true.
And that was an ethical consideration to do that. So you can't say a tool is a tool because it and it has no like
well it's
a tool is a tool is a tool, but it's like you can't say it has no it's how it's used is the issue. It's like no, like it depends who is using it and how in a bit, but like that some tools are innately bad because they can do something that is not good, no matter how you use them.
To be honest, I mean, when it comes to fossil fuels and stuff, it's not necessarily a tool. I mean, it's not kind of constructed
it's not,
in a sense.
You still have to refine it and manufacture it.
True, but it's still not technically a tool.
I still think you're still kind of using it like a tool. It helps. It enables you to do something to achieve a goal.
Yes, but I mean, then so is oxygen. Everything is a tool.
Oxygen's not optional. Fossil fuels are.
It depends whether something is optional or whether it is specific.
Shape that you can wield there.
I would say the thing that would be distinguishable for a tool is it's optional to use it or not. Like, it's optional to use guns. It's still, despite how messy it is, optional to use knives and forks. It's optional to use a toilet, technically. It's optional to have a mass education system. It's optional is it optional to be using this microphone? No, it is kind of essential we use a microphone to make this podcast happen. My definition is slowly
really tools.
My definition is slowly it's not working. It's late and it's a Monday.
as an example,
my faux pas on the last episode, I'm feeling a bit better now. Thank you.
It's whether something is generalized or specific. As an example, Python is a tool, yes, but it's incredibly generalized. Whereas I get the feeling that most of the people who are doing this, you know, this sniping, the bots they're using are prepackaged and made for those, you know, purposes. So, you know, you could argue that, you know, Python, that's, you know, fine, but the actual, you know, bot scripts for, you know, scraping stores.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I suppose it'd be like, it's the equivalent of arguing against like certain chemical formula, just because if you then combine the chemical formula, you could make something very unpleasant. I want to go back to these, but Python was just being used to make rude Twitter bots by me. That's the days I want to go back to.
If you were to make another Twitter bot, what would you do with it?
I think it would be skimming off of tweets by someone who isn't me and doing terrible, terrible things with those tweets.
I know there is...
Just going to write that down.
So I know on one of the Facebook groups that... I think all three of us are part of the... Star Trek ship posting, yeah. Because I think they had at least at one point, like a parody Gul Dukat a Twitter account which is meant to kind of parody Trump.
Mm.
Basically, like, you know, say exactly what Trump said, only switch around certain other things. So instead of like America, he says the Dominion or Cardassia or whatnot. But the rest of the words were absolutely, you know, exactly the same. I do wonder whether that was a Twitter bot or whether it was somebody actually just kind of going through Donald Trump's tweets, recontextualizing it.
I mean, you could build a bot that goes through it and just replaces certain words, like that's not with certain words.
Mm.
So, it's entirely possible to just build a bot that then does it. But then it doesn't I mean, you could even, let's see, it depends how it was doing it. Because there's no point if you don't want to have to have like a, you don't want to have to have like a pre-existing, ideally you don't want a pre-existing database of like all the tweets and then you're replacing all the words. Mm. You want the words it's going to replace, and then it grabs the tweets actively from the timeline to then copy them into obviously the bit where it's kind of doing its business, and then it inserts the words and then it tweets it. Mm. You would not have the tweets it's altering basically pre-stored. You might have it putting the tweets into some kind of queuing system to then tweet them out in a timely way. Because else if somebody, you know, goes on a particular rant, it might all kind of disappear. Well, that's all we've got time for, unfortunately, for this episode of the Nerds Assemble podcast. So it's goodbye from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night for me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter as @PaulBlewett.
And it's good night for me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. We're on Twitter at Nerds Podcast. We're on Instagram at Nerds Podcast. And we're on Facebook as the Nerds Assemble Podcast. We're also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and a couple other places where you can get your podcasts. That's it. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I get the feeling that it heard us bitching about bots.
It did.
Yeah.